let's go back on the record. And before we, before we took our break, we had some discussion about the introduction of evidence related to bond releases from other companies. Is that correct, Mr. Biella?
Yes, essentially bond release at other mines and companies.
All right. There was an objection Mr. Biella made to the introduction of that evidence, and I allowed the evidence subject to a later ruling by the commission, and Mr. Biella has asked for a ruling from the commission. Is that correct, Mr. Biella?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. I would ask then for the commission to respond to that request for a ruling.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. This is Commissioner Crispin's portfolio, so I will give him the opportunity, the responsibility to do the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move the commission admit the landowner's evidence of bond release success in North Dakota, subject to the commission determining in its decision what weight to give that evidence.
Second.
And, Mr. Chairman, if we can have some discussion.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's already been brought up, and I don't think it should be a major point necessarily in this whole hearing, but I do think there's a story to be told, and I would look forward to hearing from either the company or the PSC reclamation people the story of bond release in the state, and as one factor in many, I think we should hear it.
For me, I don't need to hear hours upon hours of testimony on what's happened in other mines. I think Mr. Biella makes a point that that's not what we're talking here, but to the extent that what has happened has brought you here and helps direct your request for what you seek to have changed with this permit, then I think it's relevant. And so I hope that you focus on that and how this evidence has helped you ask for whatever it is you're asking for here and how it can help improve on the permit or provide whatever needs to change to meet Mr. Voigt's concerns. So to that extent, I think that it's, you know, a relevant part of the conversation and the evidence, I should say.
And I agree with both my colleagues. I intend to vote for the Commissioner Crispin's motion. Just some background. We've had a lot of contested hearings over the years in the PSC, whether it's wind farms or pipelines or power lines. And I will slow down. All right.
You're the only person who can make Commissioner Culk turn red.
I know. I haven't learned after 6.5 years, so. Yeah. But the point is, it's always been my rule of thumb that you allow the evidence. Because if you don't allow the evidence, you set the stage to be more antagonistic. You set the stage for an appeal. You do all kinds of things that I don't think are worthwhile. But I'll also say to the same counsel that my Commissioner Fedorchuk did. We know this program is very well. I think there's a story to tell, but I think it's a good story on reclamation. So I look forward to the discussion with the witnesses. But I'll say we need to focus on the case. So with that, would you like to call for the vote, Your Honor, or should I?
Please do, Chairman.
Okay, I'll call for the vote on Commissioner Crispin's motion. I will vote first. I vote aye. Commissioner Crispin?
Aye.
Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Mr. Broughton.
Okay. Mr. Voigt, I think my last question was just if you wanted to express any other concerns with respect to the mine permit and just give you that opportunity to finish expressing any concerns before we move on. And so I do that now.
So this is when we go back to my testimony?
Yes.
Okay. I think we're all supposed to appreciate Brian Bajella's attempt to distract us from the facts, but my point, if he would have let me finish speaking, would have been that with this short amount of time to prepare for this hearing, we did not have time to go through all the Public Service Commission records to determine how much of those 100,000 acres were indeed mined and reclaimed by North American Coal, nor do we know how much of those 2,000 acres were released from bond by North American Coal. But I'm glad that the commissioners are willing to look at these facts because they can make a determination of how many acres were mined by North American Coal and how many acres were released from bond by North American Coal. I am not passing judgment on any of the other mines.
Okay, and let's move on from that now. And before we close your testimony, you know, putting aside the bond release issue, putting aside reclamation, I just want to give you an opportunity to express any other concerns you have with respect to the mine permit.
I guess my next part was to try and summarize my letter that I requested and just kind of go through and touch on exactly what some of those issues were. I know Jim Deutsch had asked me on the phone once of, you know, that the comments were kind of vague and not clearly understood, so I thought maybe I could just shed a little light on each individual reason that I had commented on those. First of all, with my request to the formal hearing on Cuyahoga Creek mining permit, I was concerned about the size of the permit, 8,091 acres. That, I would say, again, is back to the Public Service Commission records, but has to be one of the largest permits ever awarded for a coal mine. And yet, according to the public service records of applying for the permit on November 27th in 2013 and being approved on October 22nd of 2014, that is probably also one of the shortest time periods of approving a coal mining permit. So those two raise concerns for me. Within that 8,091 acres, there's two county roads that have open public access. I know there's Commissioner Bill Tweet here with concerns as far as the Mercer County Commission is concerned. And some of those concerns are those roads someday will not only be closed, but eventually someday they will be reopened over reclaimed land. And the county has had problems, and that would be a county record of road failures over reclaimed land. Along with the county's concerns, currently those roads are signed, and they imply that that is the property of Cuyahoga Creek Mining Company, and that the bottom, I believe, says no trespassers allowed, violators will be prosecuted. So I don't think if they have any intentions of mining that area for 12 years, I believe. I see no reason for those public accesses to be involved in the original permit, especially considering that Cuyahoga Creek at this time is only willing to put up 20% of their bond for the 8,000 acres. So if they're going to do it on a five-year increment, they could actually go through another five-year bond period without ever reaching County Road 13, which would be the first county road that they would involve in the mining process. Moving on to my second issue and my main concern, and that's why we have spent so much time on it and we will continue to spend a lot of time on it, is the reclamation practices. North American, you know, in their defense is going to say that they're following the regulations put in front of them. But yet their employees have brought forth concerns about the production of the reclamation. If we go back in time, Art Link was our governor in 1969 when he started trying to implement some reclamation laws. And originally it took a long time to get to where they are today. But even with those reclamation laws in place, North American refused to follow them. And it was at that point that some of our United Mine Workers had to come to the Public Service Commission in 1976 and notify the Public Service Commission that not only were North American not following those practices, but there was no subjective penalties for not following those reclamation practices. One of those original seven coal miners was Dan Nyrer, and he's with us today, and he would, I'm sure, like to see us follow up on what he helped get started and that's reclaiming North Dakota back to its original full potential of production. Along with that, I went along and tried to find more evidence, so not only talking to numerous landowners which had told, I'm sorry, Brian, I can't say told because they're real people with real stories. Landowners have complained to North American before. It has not had much weight. Employees have voiced their concern with their reclamation practices. There, again, has not carried much weight. Even with all those concerns brought forward, nothing has ever changed. Perry Sullivan is one of them that did a survey on the Falkirk. Perry went to school 40 years ago. In his schooling, they looked at the soils as a chemical makeup to provide forage. Now, 40 years later, they look at it as a biological makeup of the soil to provide forages. If the scientists have done a 180 change in the way they look at soils, I think we need to make at least some changes in the way we look at reclamation. Tying in with the reclamation becomes my loss of agricultural production. Not only do I lose surface lands that will force me to reduce my cow herd and reduce my income initially, but my children and hopefully my grandchildren someday will manage this land. And if it is less productive because of inadequate reclamation practices, my family will continue to lose money into the future. And it's just an economical fact, if they continue to lose income, no matter how much North American thinks they've paid us initially, in history, sometime, inevitably, the losses will surpass the compensation. And that is not the intention of the federal regulations. I guess I kind of went a little off course. I was told, I had not a lot of time to prepare a request and not a lot of guidance since I didn't have a lawyer at that time. And that's probably apparent in my letter, I guess. But along with that, I would like to discuss North American's current leasing practices.
I'm going to object, Your Honor. North American's leasing practices is not a subject to which this commission has jurisdiction.
Mr. Broughton.
I understand the commission doesn't have jurisdiction. I agree with that. I invited Mr. Voigt to explain all of his concerns and the reasons he asked for the hearing, and that's what he's doing.
Mr. Biala?
You can ask the question, but it has to be a legitimate question which can be the subject of this hearing. And he can discuss his leasing concerns, which he has done, but to open this up as to perceive is going to be an attack on North American Coal's leasing practices is totally outside, again, once again, the realm of the scope of this hearing. This is the hearing on this permit only. And that's all this hearing is about. If he wants to have if someone wants to have a hearing on North American's leasing practices, I don't know that this commission is a place to do it. It's probably a court of law where those landowners can challenge their leases they've signed. But this is certainly not the time or place to have any kind of a discussion on North American's leasing practices with private parties.
I agree, and I'll sustain the objection. I note that the notice of formal hearing does not give notice that leasing procedures are part of this proceeding.
Mr. Voigt, we're going to move on from that subject, but putting that subject aside, I just want to make sure that you've had a chance to explain all of your concerns. So putting aside the leasing practices, can you tell me if you have any other concerns that you'd like to have on record today?
Well, again, I'd like to thank Brian for his distraction, but North American current leasing is referring to my lease. Most of North American leases are 50- and 60-year-old documents that are obviously outdated. So we will move on and not discuss the rest of the lies and stuff that lead up to their leases.
Your Honor, if I could.
Objection to that statement, Your Honor, please. I'd like it struck.
sustained.
I have a written letter from Jim Melker proving.
Just as my thought to the whole crowd here, and I'm taking the chairman authority or whatever here, is that we all have ideas and things we want to get across, sir, but let's not get personal. Okay, if you say things with your opinions, please do, but both sides. I've been in hearings, go back to Cooperstown, the wind farm. Before long, we had neighbors arguing, screaming in the hallway. Let's have proper decorum, say your piece, I'll do it, and we'll make a good, clean decision here, but let's not get personal, okay? Both sides.
So, Mr. Voigt, let's move on from leasing practices, and like I said before, outside of that, if there's anything else you want to get down or you want to express, I'm going to give you a chance to do that.
I guess if we can't discuss that, we probably can't discuss newspaper articles or anything like that that have been published either.
No, I think what I'd like is just to give you an opportunity if there's anything else that, you know, caused you to request a hearing. If you were concerned about something, request a hearing. And I understand that, you know, leasing practices was part of that. But what I think we're asking is that, you know, putting that aside, what else was there? And so I guess I can't say if newspaper articles are or not, but if they're about leasing practices, then no.
No, I think one of them that ties back to this issue is how the newspaper stated in there that Otter Tail Power made a decision to change coal suppliers based on the promise that North American would deliver cheaper coal. I know they are not delivering coal, so there is no factual evidence to it, but I think the commission needs to put this in the back of their mind so that 2 years from now, when their competition is eliminated, that they are held to those standards of providing cheaper coal for Otter Tail so that those savings can be passed on to consumers and not having North Americans' profits be passed on to the consumers.
Okay. Do you have anything in closing that you'd like to share?
Well, I'm still not done with my letter.
Okay.
I know earlier we discussed the bond release issue probably more than necessary, but getting back to, you know, weighing in on the commission, hoping that they give it more serious weight, is that was one of the main reasons for me questioning the reclamation is the excess land ownership by North American Coal. I think it is twofold. I think part of it is the reclaimed land does not meet the required production to get released from bond.
I'm going to object to, he's testifying as an expert witness as to what or isn't, has or has not been effective reclamation. He's not an expert in this regard. And again, the issue in this case is not North Americans' owned lands in other mines and what they're doing. It wasn't part of the permit. It's not part of the permit appeal. It shouldn't be a part of this case. Thank you.
Mr. Broughton.
With respect to the issue of bond release, I'm not changing my position, but Mr. Voigt, I think I agree that we should move on from bond release, from coal leasing, and move on from those issues at this point.
I think that's a good idea. I'll sustain the objection.
I guess if I can only tell part of the story, I will try and wrap it up then. I guess I would just like to make some closing comments. One thing the late Will Rogers quoted was, the definition of insanity is when we do the same thing over and over again, and yet we expect different results. Along with that, as far as the reclamation goes, I think a huge problem with the reclamation is the size of the equipment used in the mining practices. And I think that is evident sitting by my land right now. There is some 777 end dump trucks that have been brought in to start working at the mine. And before they were even put into service, they put extensions on the boxes, multiple extensions, multiple boxes. And I guess that's to improve compaction or something that way. As far as just closing, I guess I hope that some of our case will be presented based on science, and I hope not only the commission, but everybody that's took the time to attend this hearing can learn something from the science that is going to be presented, and hopefully our children and grandchildren can all benefit from this someday.
Thank you very much. Mr. Biella, do you have questions for the witness?
Yes, Your Honor. We have to get an exhibit, Your Honor.
Sure.
Mr. Voigt, showing you what has been marked as Iowa Creek's Exhibit Number 1. Is this a copy of the coal lease signed by you and your wife?
Looks like it.
Is that a yes?
I haven't had time to read all the documents, but I'll take your word for it.
And at the time that you signed and were negotiating this coal lease, were you represented by an attorney?
Yeah, I believe you have the document from Jim Melchior that was sent to Patrick Donovan, and that was where Jim's misleading information coerced me into making a wrong decision of signing the lease.
But you were represented by counsel when you signed that lease. Is that correct?
I believe he was misled in the letter also.
Please answer the question. Were you represented by counsel?
I already told you I was.
Now, as far as mines in North Dakota, when it comes to reclamation standards, you are aware, of course, that these are not the reclamation standards published by a coal company. They are the Public Service Commission's reclamation standards. You are aware of that?
Yes.
And you had indicated you previously worked at a number of coal mines, including you worked at Knife River Coal Mine, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how far is that from your home?
About 10 miles.
Okay. And the current mine that's operating there, how far is that from your home?
About 3,200 feet.
I mean the Dakota Westmoreland mine. How far is that from your home?
It's the same office. Okay. They bought it from Knife River.
Okay. When you worked at those mines, you must have had occasion to see and observe reclaimed lands. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. I actually hay some of the reclaimed land from Dakota Westmoreland.
Well, given your experience in mining and the concerns you've raised today about reclamation in Mercer County, why did you sign the coal lease?
Because the information that I have received since then shows for bearing that Dakota Westmoreland's reclamation is more productive than North American Coal's reclamation.
I have no further questions.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, do you have questions?
Well, the first question is whether you are offering Exhibit 1.
We are offering Exhibit 1.
And is it supposed to have these, does the lease have the bar charts on the back? There's bar charts on the back of
mine. Oh, there's, no.
No.
That's so, in the, that should not be there.
Uh-huh.
I apologize.
You want them back?
Yeah, we'll take it back.
I didn't sign those pages.
I apologize.
Fancy lease. So, we're offering an
The lease itself, not...
Just the lease, yes.
I have before me the Coyote Creek's Exhibit 1, and what I have is pages 1 through 10. Is that correct, Mr. Biella?
Yes, Your Honor.
Any objection, Mr. Broughton?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No.
Exhibit 1 is admitted. Do you have any further questions, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
Yeah, and a comment regarding the limited general North Dakota bond release statistics. Even though it's available to the Public Service Commission, it isn't in the record at the moment. But Mr. Deitch has offered, when it's his turn to testify, to produce an exhibit that will show how much of the mined acres are North American acres and how much of the released acres are North American acres. So I just want, because I don't think you have that available at this time. Do you, Derek?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. So we will have an exhibit to answer that question specifically when it's staff's time to testify.
Thank you.
And then I did have just one very, I hope not oversimplifying here, but I would just like your position on this question. Is your problem with the permit what the reclamation requirements are in the permit, or is your problem that whatever they are, they're impossible to meet?
Probably with the current reclamation practices, they may be impossible. I'm not a soil scientist, so I don't know that for certain. But I think with some more research and knowledge obtained, we could possibly reach those production goals that the landowners are led to believe will be achievable.
And then if that information becomes available, are you asking that that additional information and resulting standards be incorporated into the permit?
I'm going to just object to the extent that the question is calling for legal conclusions. I'm okay with Mr. Voigt answering, but I just want to preserve that in case the lawyers and the client view the law differently.
Understood. You may answer the question.
Yeah, and I guess without, you know, further research and knowledge, it would be truly hard to determine where we could go, you know. I guess in our meetings with North American, I've clearly stated I am not trying to stop the progress of mining. I'm just trying to change the process and the way they do it.
Okay, and I just want to, by way of explanation, I was not trying to get at any legal conclusions, but I was trying to get at what are we asking of the commission in this hearing? Are we asking to change requirements in the permit or not? That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions from your staff? Ms. Jeffcoat-Sackle?
No, and thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. I'd ask now if the commissioners have questions for the witness. Chairman Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Actually, I'll defer to Commissioner Christman. It's his portfolio, so we always start out with the portfolio holder first.
Thank you for doing that.
Well, I'm not going to thank you, Commissioner Kalk, because I got several pages of notes I was going to pour through and get ready.
I can go first if you'll defer back.
No.
Grab your mic.
But thank you, Your Honor. And we'll try this. Okay. You had said that Mr. Melchior said that the land would be reclaimed to conditions as good or better than before, something on that order?
Reading from his letter, it says, North American's commitment to restore Casey's Ranch to its pre-mining condition should mining operations take place.
Is that the thing where you feel you were misled?
Yes, one of the many things.
Okay. You talked about, I'm not sure what to do about this howling, but you talked about the records and an assessment of your property as it is now. And I wrote down, I think you said that it's 92% native. Is that correct?
That is the information that was given to us, I believe, by Don Steffens.
Okay. And then you said a number of different native species, but I didn't write fast enough.
Eight of them in general.
I'm jumping ahead to when you talked about some soil scientists, and you said they've done 100, you said more before this, and then you said, so since they've done 180 degree turnabout and how they assess that. But can you kind of repeat that for me? And I did not get it down.
I believe what you're referring to is Perry Sullivan's comment about when he was in school, you know, getting his education on soil science, he was led to believe that, or what they studied was the chemical development of the soil to make the forages grow. Where now it is evolved enough to where they look at the biological makeup of the soils to make the forages grow. So that is what I consider a 180-degree turn. They're looking at soil health completely different.
And how does that affect the reclaimed land? Or does that mean that we should be requiring more subsoil or more topsoil or different compaction levels? Or the fact that soil scientists would look at things differently now than they did 40 years ago, what does that mean for us as far as reclamation and getting good grass and crop production?
I probably should defer to the witness, expert witnesses that are have a better understanding of it. But my understanding of what I have obtained in a short time is, you know, that the current standards require 12 inches topsoil, 36 inches subsoil. I think that's a general. I don't think it's a defined. But native grasses, though they may be short on the surface, have 7-8 foot root depths. So the compaction below the subsoil doesn't allow for proper root penetration to get to subsoil moistures and subsoil nutrients.
Okay.
And, or should I say subsurface? Sorry.
And Perry, what was the last name of the person you were referencing?
Sullivan.
Is that one of the witnesses?
No.
Okay. In response to Ms. Jeff Kotsako's question, you said you don't want to stop the mine trying to change the way it's done or way it's reclaimed.
That is correct.
So are you, do you have something specific that you're looking for, some level of compaction or some amount of subsoil respread different than what is normally done, or some different amount of topsoil, or what would you consider a better program in short? I mean, they're long processes in figuring out how to reclaim land, but very generally.
Yes, and we probably won't, you know, get the perfect answer in the near future. But, you know, going back to Will Rogers' quote, you know, we have to start trying to make changes or we're never going to make any progress in this department as far as the reclamation, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I do know compaction of the overburden, the material below the subsoil, is a major issue in the croplands that the landowners have expressed to me and to North American. And then also, the depth of the subsoil, I think, should be conducive to pre-mining depths. I'm sorry, consistent with pre-mining depths.
So the topsoil, I'm not hearing much of an issue with. It's more the subsoil and the compaction.
I believe the way the current practices are now, we are checking topsoil for the chemical makeup of the topsoil. But we're not doing much subsurface as far as the subsoil or the compaction of the overburden below the surface. It's more of a hurry up and contour the land and then try and fix it later.
Okay. And then I thought I had marked it in here, but at one point early in your testimony, maybe I'll find it again, you talked about kind of forming the hills and you mentioned three things at one point, the rolling hills and the 40 to 50-year-old trees and the native grass production. To elaborate on the issue with the rolling hills, do you feel that they're not going to get put back in as rough of a terrain as what it is now, or that it'll be too rough? Or I didn't really follow you what the issue was there.
Yes, I think it is twofold, but there again, it is coming from what Brian would consider hearsay, but evidence that reclamation personnel have given me of they can only reclaim land to a certain degree of slope. So the natural hills that are there now, some exceed the slope. So in order to make the contour fit, you have to take away from some of the level lands to make your slopes.
I don't have any other questions right now.
Thank you, Chairman Calk.
But thank you, Casey.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Casey, for your testimony. It's been almost 2 hours you've been up there, so it's, and I will slow down. If Mr. Broughton and Mr. Biella would mind, I had our staff print off a map. What I'd like to do is give that to Casey and have him show the commission directly where his property's at and put this in as some kind of exhibit, if that would be all right with everybody.
Sure.
Do you mind if I give this to Casey?
I guess I need to talk into Mike and rather just directly to you, but would it be okay if I just showed my management area rather than my deeded land?
Sure.
That would be simpler. If you'd have a highlighter, I could sure. Thank you, Julie. Oh. I'm having a hard time determining what's what.
I'll just be patient.
Oh, okay. I think I have my bearings.
I guess this map doesn't cover all of my lands. I don't know. Should I?
That's good for now.
Okay. Oh, it kind of goes over here a ways, though.
Brian, can you tell us what this map is? Yeah. I mean, what is? Isn't it the permit area?
Let me get back on the microphone. That didn't quite work out like I planned. I think what I'd like to do is when Jim gets up there, can we have a detailed exhibit that shows exactly where Casey's property is at? Because while we have it in many documents, I'd like to have it in one document that is part of the record for this hearing. So that'll, Casey, if you don't mind, we can address that later. You've given me a general idea, I guess, of what the question I wanted to lead into. The question I have, Casey, is that you talked many times about how you wish you wouldn't have signed this lease, and I know we've gone in a lot of discussion today about the commission's role on leasing, but if North American came to you and said they ripped the lease up, would that be acceptable to you, just to say I'm out of this?
I guess if we could go back to a meeting that I had with North American Coal on, I believe it was August 27th of 2013, Don Steffens, Jim Melker, and my neighbors, the Unruh Cattle Company, were all present, and at that point in time, I had offered to buy out the lease from Jim Melker or from North American Coal.
Okay, just and that's a separate discussion outside of our jurisdiction. But I just wanted to see what your answer was to that question.
Yes, I was willing to not only reimburse the money they had paid me, but also any members of my family or the Silers that have mineral interests.
And as you've heard both councils talk about today, that's a separate proceeding. Then if you – I will tell you that the same thing is if you feel that you've been wronged by something, it's your, you should look into that. So that's a separate jurisdiction in this commission, but that's part of the way the system works, the legal system. So that's,
thank you for
I
your
don't,
advice.
I don't give legal advice. I'm just – as a citizen, that's – If one body doesn't give you what you're looking for, there's other bodies available. But I'll focus back to what I guess what we do here. I just had a couple basic questions. When you talked about talking with our staff, particularly Mr. Deutsch, what was it you were trying to get from him specifically?
Well, when I felt I wasn't getting straight answers from either Don Steffens or Sarah Floth, then I was asking some of them same reclamation questions to Jim Deutsch. And I believe one of his comments in July was, you're the first landowner to complain about the reclamation.
You were trying to get to specific questions about what reclamation was exactly going to happen?
No, the production of the land after reclamation is what I was looking for.
For the standards that we hold the groups to? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I'm not a soil scientist or nothing like that, so I'm not definite that the standards were the problem. I just was looking at the end result as not being sufficient.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to figure out is how this unfolded, where you had a question about what the land would look like when it was done. And so you asked Mr. Deutsch what those standards were. I'm just trying to figure out what it is you want the standards to be. What is it you exactly don't like about the current standards? Take aside all the North American discussion. But there's standards that have been in place for many years, and I agree that we should always be looking at standards with new technologies. But back to Alana Jeffcoat's question is, what is it you specifically want from us to change?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. Actually, if it was up to me to start trying to make it better, I guess where I would start is far below the surface. You know, rather than putting overburden back at 50 or 100 foot lifts at a time, maybe break it down into smaller benches or lifts so that soil can be adequately dispersed and compacted uniformly.
Commissioner Christman about that as far as the native prairie that, you know, I know those grass goes down way deep. Dr. Jimmy was one of my instructors in soil science as well. So that's maybe, and this is, I'm just kind of talking this through a little bit, but as this hearing unfolds, typically when we go somewhere, a landowner comes in with a piece of paper that says, this is what I want. This is what I don't like about it. I'm trying to envision the three of us sitting in a work session going, okay, we have a landowner that doesn't like this, but he hasn't given us specifically what he wants changed. And I don't know how we would even begin that work session because there's no 6 should become 10, 10 should become 15. I can envision your discussion, but it's very hard to envision an outcome when I don't know exactly what you want. Just being frank with you, sir.
Yes, and I appreciate that. I guess it's my understanding that you will have another 30 days to make a determination on some of this, and I would like to maybe suggest not only me having input during those 30 days of what we could possibly try for a starter, but also some of the expert witnesses that know a lot more about soil health and hydrology than I ever will. But yeah, I think, you know, back to the overburden, if we can lay it in and lifts and have a more focused understanding of not just going to one level and doing all the work from one spot, creating excess compaction below the subsoil, and then from there up, you know, having adequate subsoil depth, which is consistent with pre-mining condition rather than just a benchmark standard of 1 and 3 feet, maybe, you know, if there's areas where there's 7 or 8 feet of subsoil, maybe we could, you know, look at following what the pre-mining condition is.
Well, and thank you, Casey, for your thoughts on that. I think this will evolve as the discussion continues with all the experts, if you will. But I will say that it puts us in an interesting scenario, us being the commissioner, me in particular, where not knowing exactly what you want, we could have our staff do the best effort, and it still wouldn't be exactly perfect. And this could just continue on and on and on. And so I guess we'll just have to go through that, but I'll go back to Mr. Broughton as this thing wraps up. The specific ask that Alana brought out, and you said we don't want to draw legal conclusions, that's the practicality, I think, of this hearing. So that would be the only questions that I had, but I guess if Mr. Broughton wants to.
Well, I know I'm out of order, but I think it might just clarify. I think, I mean, we have some of the questions about what do you want in terms of the science. He's hired a team of experts to answer some of those questions. And as far as what do you want from you guys specifically, he's hired lawyers, and so we're planning to do post-hearing briefing. And so it may be things like we'd like an additional condition on the permit, we'd like this, and that's something we intend to get to you as the hearing wraps up and after we close the evidence.
Okay, and that's, I guess, the lead into then. So then we can ask specific questions about if he says 6, we say why 6, and we'll walk all that through. So you're going to make that very clear to us, specifically what it is Casey wants on his property. Okay, thank you. That was the only questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Sure. Casey, thanks for being here. And I'm going to have to backtrack a little bit to better understand sort of how this all evolved and how we got to here today. But I appreciate having the lease here. So you signed this lease, you and your wife, in 2010.
December all except the last couple pages.
Okay. When you signed this signless lease, was it with the understanding that there was going to be a coal mine there? Was Coyote Creek already envisioned and they were talking specifically about that mine?
No, they were not. They were just talking about needing to have documentation on record of coal reserves to have the potential to bid a contract at the Coyote Station, which was currently being supplied by established mine at the Dakota Westmoreland location.
Well, but coal reserves to bid a contract would have to be mined. So there would have to be a mine there in order to have a contract for delivering coal, right? So you knew that they were using this land to bid a contract to deliver coal someplace.
I didn't have a clear understanding of their business practices, but as an economic viewpoint, I was under the impression that it would be economically infeasible to produce a new mine and can be competitive with an existing mine.
Okay. So what would the purpose of the contract be then, the easement? Just why would they – I mean, the easement was for the coal on the land. What would be the purpose of the easement if it wasn't to mine the coal?
The lease is what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, the lease. Sorry. Yep.
Yes, that would be I guess actually if you want to get further into my thoughts – my thought was they needed that land to get the contract, and if for some unforeseeable reason they would actually get the contract, there again going back to my economic side would be the most economical way to provide coal to the Coyote Station would be to buy out the existing mine and take over those lands and mine those lands that are much closer to the existing power plant.
But when you signed this, you clearly knew that they might mine that land for coal someday.
Yes, and I thought even early on when they had obtained the contract, probably like in 2012, Don Steffens had brought mine plans to me at that time, and they were showing that they were going to not put the mine office where it is now in clear view of my kitchen window, and it also showed that they were going to start mining on the north end of the mine property and mine the pits going east and west, and it would be like 12 years before they ever got near where our farmstead is.
Mm-hmm. And 12 years is, you know, a significant difference because you're...
Because of my age, and then it would have given us more time to adjust to the mining activities rather than now the mining plans that were shown to me last winter by Sarah Floth indicate that they are going to, you know, not only build the office in view of my house, but also start mining with about a half a mile from my house to the north, and then work their way around to the west side, and then come back to the south. So they're basically in the first couple of years, horseshoe or encompass my farmstead.
Mm-hmm. And then you said you'd heard some grumblings about the reclamation. Getting to the point of today's hearing is your complaint with the reclamation results. Really, when did you start hearing these grumblings?
I think what I was trying to say earlier was that I had heard some prior to signing the lease,
mm-hmm.
and I felt that maybe some of those landowners were actually exaggerating their loss of production.
Mm-hmm.
But after signing the lease and not getting straight answers that I was asking to the questions that I was asking, then I started talking to more landowners and getting more information, and then I realized that they were not exaggerated comments.
Okay. And then your discussions with the North American Coal folks, Don and Sarah, that happened before or after signing the lease?
I never talked, to my knowledge, to Don or Sarah before signing the lease.
Okay. You've talked a little bit about, okay, so you started having a sense that you might not be satisfied with the reclamation processes of the company. I'm looking at, it strikes me that we're at a point in discussing some things that should have happened a year ago. And there were opportunities for this kind of a discussion and a give and a take. And, I mean, here we're kind of locked into a very formal legal proceeding with evidence and, you know, time periods and all kinds of cumbersome, not very effective tools to deal with some of the issues that you have that could very likely be real legitimate and could have been productive along the way. There was, you know, several notices published. I'm looking at our permit and some of the memos that I got in relation to it, that there was, you know, publications in the Hays and Star, the Beulah Beacon, the Bismarck Tribune in March and April of this year, and we no objections or requests for informal conferences were received. Why didn't you engage then with some of this information?
Hindsight would have been the right time. I guess to explain how things got led astray. One thing that came about was, like I said, last winter, the mine plan changed dramatically. And then at that point, I had started thinking, well, this is going to affect my farmstead more immediately and more dramatically than original. So back to your question of why I didn't request an informal hearing last spring, that overlapped with a time period when I was dealing with Jim Melchior thinking that they were possibly going to do a land swap and relocate me. But the way that all turned out, I think that was just somewhat of a distraction to get me away from requesting an informal hearing at that time. Mm-hmm. Referring back to clarifying why I feel that was a distraction at that time is last week in our meeting with North American, Chris Fries, who was with us, is their land agent, and he clearly stated that this lease does not cover any relocation or extra land for me to operate my business on. but yet I was led to believe last spring that they were looking at doing a land swap with me.
Okay. So, you've talked a bit about the economic losses that you're expecting based on their reclamation history. Can you speak to any, or and maybe there'll be an expert witness that can talk to this, but have you done some calculations based on some economic, you mentioned economic facts, so I'm interested in what are the economic facts that you're basing this this belief that you've got, you're going to have these economic losses, and do you have any of that to offer us in terms of what you predict your losses might be based on their reclamation history?
Yeah, I do have some of those numbers, but there again, they're just projections. They're not facts of what is going to happen in the future.
What did you base
I'm
them
basing
on?
Those off of some records that I had requested in at the August 27th meeting of 2013. And then it would have been, I believe, towards the end of March that Sarah Floth gave me some documents showing the actual surface disturbance year by year. So then I took those calculations and calculated how many cows I would have to reduce from my cow herd to sustain, to have a sustainable herd on what acres I had left to manage. Then I took those loss of numbers for my cows and calculated last spring of what I felt the current calf market was. Well, as we all know now, hindsight, the $1,100 or $1,200 calf market last spring has now gone to $1,600 or $1,800 a piece. So my numbers last spring showed that it was going to be a closer, you know, I could have easily miscalculated it and it could have been a small profit or I could have had a small loss. It was hard to determine. But now with the increase in the market, it's a lot easier to determine that there would be a substantial loss by reducing potentially my cow herd by about 150 cows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that concludes my comments. I appreciate you being here. I do have empathy for citizens trying to follow these legal processes and understanding when to engage and when not to engage. And it's complicated, and it's not always real user-friendly. So I will, you know, do our best to accommodate your concerns at this stage in the process with, you know, what we're able to do. But I will echo some of my colleagues' comments, too. We're focused on this permit and what happens inside this permit and what we can change in this permit to deal with your issues. Some of your, a lot of your other issues need to be handled in a court of law outside of us. And we can't, you know, even if we wanted to, we couldn't deal with them. So I thank you for being here and we'll do our best.
Maybe if I could touch on those other issues just a little bit. My main issue of bringing those up was so that you were aware of I do have other options. I just have chose not to pursue those at this time. I would like to rather make some changes for a starting point in the reclamation and proceed from there rather than going through the legal process of trying to stop the mining process.
Commissioner Christman.
You mentioned that you thought that it would be better if smaller lifts of returning the overburden in would be an improvement, and as opposed to the large lifts that are possible with large equipment. Would you agree that that does make the process probably less efficient then?
Not exactly. I think, you know, I've worked with the mines enough, and I think where that large lift is handled is with the drag lines. And what we see there a lot of times, being a former employee of mines, is with the drag lines trying to maximize their pit widths, which creates the spoil piles being much higher than the contour of the land that they're mining. then they have trouble reclaiming all the coal. So I think if they went and narrowed their pits that they're stripping with the drag lines, that would reduce the height of the overburden and improve their recovery rates on their coal.
Okay. And I'll try and get into that some with them and their experts, but I'm kind of presuming something that they probably will say that reduces efficiency to work in smaller lifts. And if that is the case, your subsequent comment about kind of holding them accountable for the statement that was made about a cheaper source of coal to the power plant, if we do something here that adds to accommodate your wishes, that adds to their costs, then it would really be us that's accountable if it turns out that the price is not less or is substantially more than them. Do you agree with that?
I agree that they could look at it that way, but in reality, when they bid the contract, they had none of the current equipment that is at the Coyote Creek mine today.
Okay. And then, now jumping to a different subject, I think, as I recall, you said that the other mineral owners kind of had you do the negotiating on their behalf. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true. I kept them abreast of different meetings that led up to the lease being signed, but ultimately they left the decision up to me.
And so did they like make you power of attorney so you signed the whole deal with North American, or did you just kind of negotiate it and then each one signed on their own?
Yeah, there again, it goes back to being just good neighbors. There was no power of attorney contracts or no signed negotiations. It was just them, you know, agreeing to give me the go-ahead to see things through and then me reporting back to them on what was presented to me, and then they signed their leases off of what I told them.
Both your family and the other...
Calvin and Patience Seiler.
And are they opposing this too, or are you still speaking on their behalf, or are you speaking on just your behalf now?
My siblings do have a contractor deed that ties them to the surface, but this is more of a surface issue. But they are supporting me in what decisions I make at this point, as they did support me when I gave them my opinion of the lease.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman Koch.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Casey. Just one follow-up to Commissioner Fedorchak's line of questioning, which brought out something I'd never heard before. So, and now, of course, the process is you say your piece, then North American will say their piece, then we'll say our piece. So they'll have their chance to counter what you're saying, of course, if they so agree to. But tell me about this land swap that was, quote-unquote, promised to you that didn't happen.
I guess I don't know how much of the details you would like, but the property in general was at Braddock, North Dakota, and it was listed under Realtor Prairie Rose, and the ranch was the Graham Ranch. And a friend of mine that lives in that area told me that he knew Vance Graham, and he knew the place, and it was a nice place. At first, even when my friend told me of the property, I didn't give it much thought, but fortunately, there was some rain and some weather issues, so I had some more time to think about life, and I thought, well, why not at least look at it? So I brought that to the attention of Jim Melkier, who was, I believe, acting as a land agent and a Coyote Creek president at that time, and he said that they would be interested and they would look into it. I guess actually he said it would be easier if I looked into it. So I got a realtor and my family, and we went to Braddock and spent a day touring the ranch. I guess our impression on the way home that day was it wasn't as nice as the ranch that we own, but it was a nice enough ranch to where we wouldn't have to be faced with the mining process every day.
So, trying to make sure I understand exactly what you told me. So, you and your family were willing if they could come into some agreement to basically relocate your family down to the Braddock area and let the mine do what they needed to do and the property that was yours. So you'd still would own some property up there, or would it be a...
I believe my comment to Jim Melchior at that time is I would do an even swap. According to, there again, my economic calculations, which aren't scientific, they're projections, it looked like it would be an even trade, no extra benefit to us. But I wanted to obtain an option to rebuy our current ranch after the mining process was complete.
Would you still be interested if that came your way?
It would be a lot harder to swallow now with the way I've been treated.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Just one follow-up to that. Then, did what you just described sounded to me like it was a process that you initiated with the land swap?
At our meeting on August 27th of 2013, they told me to, you know, kind of keep my eye out, and if there was some land that I was interested in, that they'd be willing to work with me.
But then and then it came up in the spring about the same time as the informal meetings were, you know, those time frames for requesting that was happening. And then you initiated it with them because you found this land then?
Well, what led me up into initiating it was the change of the mine plans in January. You know, then all of a sudden it was going to be a more direct effect and more immediate rather than a lesser effect 12 years or so down the road.
Right. But it was something that you kind of, you found the timing coinciding with the informal hearing was just, that's just how it landed because that's when you discovered this potential property of interest.
Yeah, yes. I guess where I feel the misleading information came from is when Jim said that they were willing to do a land swap. And then last week when we were meeting with North American, Chris Fries clearly said, this lease does not cover that. We can't do that.
So when did you, so what happened with that whole Braddock property? Did it just fizzle out or what happened with that?
There wasn't a lot of fizzling. They, I believe, were to go to Fargo and meet with the Coyote partners, the different owners of the Coyote Station, and they were to get back to me after the meeting on what they learned from their partners, and it was approximately a couple of months later before Sarah came, and I talked to her and told her that I was very disappointed that nobody ever got back to me on what had gone on with the meeting in regards to the land swap.
Okay. I was just trying to better understand. You had kind of characterized it as a intentional effort by the company to distract you from requesting an informal hearing. So I was trying to better understand the circumstances around that because that would have, you know, been the appropriate time to have the discussion on the reclamation issues that you are bringing to us now. So anyway, thank you for clarifying that.
Yes, and I wish I would have brought them up last spring.
Anything further from the commission members?
Only thing I would add, Your Honor, is if we do happen to take our next break, I think our attorneys and you should get together and plan a third day. So just, we're not going to finish in 2 days.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Broughton, any redirect?
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Biella, any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
Nothing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you all for your time.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, would you like to take a five-minute break?
I would.
All right.
I think the commissioners, we could look at a third date really quick.
All right. Thank you. 5 minutes.
Your Honor.